Welcome to the snooze button. Hey, I'm Brittany of Brittany, She, and Sleep. I've got 99 problems, but my kid sleeping isn't one.
Hi, guys. Another episode of the snooze button here. Today, I think this is very timely because it's summer, almost summer for some of you. I am here with a very special guest. So Beth is the creator of Days with Gray, which simplifies routines and promotes play-based learning for young children. I'm sure like all of you follow her on Instagram. I certainly do. Beth has a master's in education and 13 years, wow, of teaching. She shares practical activities for early development and is a mom of three. So her strategies resonate with her 300,000 Instagram followers. Join her to enrich your child's daily activities through play. I think I will. Thanks, Beth. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Brittany.
I am so excited to chat with you. We were talking before and I was like, we need to talk about summer and how not to go insane. But before we do, I would love to know personally, just because I'm curious, but I'm sure everyone else wants to know too, like what gave you the, I'm going to guess that you have a child named Gray, but that was what gave you the idea to begin.
And the running joke is now, you know, now I have three big kids and it's like, oh, no, it's actually Days with Gray, Hayes, and Will, you know, because they all contributed so much. And it's just kind of funny that, you know, the oldest child, you know, gets all the credit.
Yeah, totally. But as a fellow oldest child, we deserve all the credit because we're also the guinea pigs of your parenting experience. So by That's the true. Time your youngest came along, it's like you were a pro. Gray was just, he was out in the wild, you know?
That's fair.
Yeah. So tell us about how you came up with the idea. I mean, it sounds like you had a very ideal background to create this platform and this company.
Yeah. So after I had Gray, I went back to teaching and I taught for maybe about 6 months, but I was pregnant with my middle and we were also moving. And, you know, sometimes with teaching, your salary will just turn into the same as paying for daycare. So I made the decision to leave teaching as much as I love early education. And, but I made the decision to leave and stay at home. And as Gray and I were home and like you said, you know, figuring this out, I remember in the early years, you hear in your head, like kids just know how to play. They just know what to do. And that doesn't really come with any sort of, age, ability, and stage, right? So you see your 16-month-old and you're like, okay, well, this day's going by really slow and you're supposed to be playing and not, you know. And so I started thinking about, well, how can I simplify this for parents? How can I help myself? Because I was also like reading all the play-based learning and what's appropriate for a toddler and a preschooler. And as I was gaining more information and utilizing it in my home with my toddler and I was pregnant with my second, I thought, you know what, I bet there's a lot of information that I could share with the world to help other families feel seen and also have some ideas of how to spend the day, whether it's the weekends or the weekdays or, you know, you work from home or you work part-time or any way, like what can you do with these children and how can you help them become independent and also experience more play.
Yeah, totally. And I guess, what would you say, like, once you, obviously you're the expert on it now, like once you kind of figured out some of those things and started sharing them, like what were the differences you noticed in your days with him going from like that, like, what are we going to do all day feeling?
Yeah. Well, one thing that I like to talk a lot about is the most important part. Well, there's two, I think that really stand out. The first is that we need to know that a child can usually focus on a task 1 minute plus their age or double their age. So when you when you see that great idea on Pinterest and then you have your two-year-old at home and you want them to engage in the idea, we have to think like, you know, if it's a 4 minute playtime, that was actually kind of average. Now you can get a lot more from different types of play, like sensory play seems to go a lot longer than more of like a printout, right? But right. So I think that's the first thing is really acknowledging like, oh, okay, this is normal. Like this isn't anything I'm doing wrong or my child's not living up to, you know, their milestones or it really truly is age appropriate. The second part of it was understanding like how to set myself up for success. And that's really creating a predictable routine. And this is great for summer too. So one thing that I really like to start with is I start with myself, which seems like, well, Beth, why do you start with yourself? If you can't, you know, it's so, okay. So for me, I'm not a morning person. You know, like kids wake up early and you're immediately on, like, especially in the toddler years, it was like, okay, change the diaper, make the bottles, you know, all the things. But I wasn't really ready to wake up yet. And what I noticed is that when I used TV to buy myself some time, when we turned it off, we all walked in circles. And that really didn't do me any, in my family, it kind of just set me back even further. So I started thinking about the mornings and I started setting up like a simple prompt, play prompt on the kitchen breakfast table. And I call them breakfast invitations because it's an invitation to play at breakfast. And it completely transformed our mornings. What I realized is that the kids came down and they used their brain and their creativity first, which led to connection because I was on the other side of the kitchen making my tea or making breakfast and talking to them a little bit about what they were playing with. And then it also, it sparked the play, and then they like would just run off and play because they got my attention and they had some creativity. And I like to think about it a lot like, you know, if you put your gym clothes on first thing in the morning, then you're more likely to, you know, go for a walk, right? It's kind of the same thing. It's just kind of like starting with that morning intention. So when I started reframing my days a little bit more around like, okay, my problem area is the morning. How am I going to solve it? We're going to do a breakfast invitation and get the kids to play. And then my other problem area is that I crash at 3. And so when I think about the routines, I was like, okay.
Also relatable.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, so at 3 o'clock when I'm crashing, that's when like they can watch a show or they can, now they're older and they like to play Nintendo. But I, you know, you want to make your routine really work for you because your kids will kind of adapt into what you set up for them. And then if you can continue it day to day, it just becomes a normal routine. And then the other thing that I really need is I need to work out and I need to move my body. So when I think about a routine, what I like to do is I like to plug in like my solution for first thing in the morning, my time that I'm going to always try to aim to go for that walk. Even, you know, when it's young kids, we all had to do it together. And then the time that'll crash. And then if you think about your 3 problem areas and your solutions, then your rest of your day can kind of flow into that.
I love that. It's so true because I've found, I was actually talking to a friend about this. Obviously, sleep is my area of expertise.
Right.
Play is yours. But it's like, you know, people like to say like, oh, this kid is so strong-willed or this kid is so easygoing or difficult or whatever. I am very humbled by the fact that I can see very clearly now with a 7, 5, and 2.5-year-old that the areas that I have the most structure and processes and boundaries are the ones they're all quote unquote good kids. And the ones that I'm like, oh, whatever. That's the ones where they're like, you know, naughty or whatever, right? So it's like, it's kind of up to us to like set that structure, right? It's not like if your kids are difficult in the morning, it's not because they're difficult kids. It's maybe because of that, right? Like having that, I love the idea of the invitation to breakfast.
Yeah. And I always say like, don't fix something that's working. So if you're a family that like you're, you know, you instantly are like, oh wait, but like, you know, 30 minutes of that show is working for me. Then don't change it. Or if you're like, oh, my child like independently plays, do I need to now make a breakfast invitation? No, don't change it. Like really understanding like where are your areas that are not working and finding solutions for those is really, I think, the key after raising 3 kids. I think that's more of the key to success.
Totally. Right. Yep. I mean, that's good parallel with sleep too. So I tell people if it ain't broken, don't fix it.
Yeah,
you have to do what I say. It's working for you.
Yeah,
great.
And there's so much information.
So much information. And like for you, I'm similar to you in what you described with the mornings and stuff. But I know a lot of people, and I mean, this is probably pretty universal, but a lot of people have issues, especially if it's working parents, in that like weird window of like home from school or work and bedtime when it's not dinner time. It's like, when are they allowed to watch a show? When should they be outside? So for a lot of people, that could be the problem. Like maybe it's not a breakfast invitation. Maybe it's a dinner invitation, right?
Oh, yeah. It's funny because I get tons of DMs where it's more of a post-nap invite or a dinner prep invite. Yeah, exactly.
And post-nap,
Like, and it just kind of gets the mind going. And even if it's a small blurb. So the breakfast invitations are they're all based off of like things that I know children are going to learn in kindergarten, but we're also focusing on like the independent skills and the problem solving and the critical thinking. So it might be for a 2-year-old, it might be, or from 2 to 4, even, it might be as simple as like you collect a few like red, yellow, blue toys from your house, put them all in a box, and then make a red square, yellow square, green, blue square, and all they're doing is color sorting. And you can really vary your conversation as your child is finishing up. You know, you could say, ah, do you think you have more red or do you think you have more yellow? And they'll be like, oh, more red, definitely more red. And then you can talk about estimation. You can be like, oh, I wonder, what do you think? Would you guess like 10 you think you have, or would you say more than 10, you know? And so you're kind of, and materials that I share with families will give these question prompts so you can think ahead. But yeah, you might say, do you think there's more than 10 or less than 10? So now you're talking about that. And then you're going to count them, right? And then what you can do is you can even, you know, lay them out, red toy, blue toy, red toy, blue toy, red toy, blue toy. And you can't, this is audio, so just imagine you're matching them up, right? And then all of a sudden you're out of blue toys, so you just keep going on your line, red, red, red. Now you can talk about concepts like, oh, there's 3 more red than there are blue. So there's a lot that you can even do with something as simple as color sorting, and you can vary it from the age and stage, from 2 to 4, just by the questions you're asking to prompt more thinking.
I love that. You actually reminded me two things. I had 2 thoughts as you were saying that. One is that I love the idea that you just gave anybody can do. There's no purchasing 15 items at Target. Because I do think I will speak for myself personally. Sometimes I'll see accounts where like the thing it sounds so complex and overwhelming that I'm like, I'm sure that's lovely, but I'm not going out and buying 30 of these items that I know they're going to destroy or they're going to be like all over the house, right? So finding ways to, because to your point too, if a 2-year-old's attention span is 4 minutes, and if you spend 20 minutes putting together some elaborate craft activity for them, and they just walk over and swipe it, it's like, that's frustrating. So I like that. Do you have a good, because you have 3 kids like me, do you have a good solution for kids of different ages? Not like a 12-year-old and a 2-year-old, but if people have a 1, 3, and 5-year-old, a 2, 4, 6, that, you know, kind of thing, activities that, because that's been a struggle for me. It's like my oldest could play like a board game and my youngest would just like knock everything over because she's 2. That's what 2-year-olds do.
Yeah. So there's a few different things. The first thing that I like to mention is that I think sometimes as parents, we overcomplicate things. So we're like, oh, a breakfast invitation. So I need 1 for my 2-year-old. I need 1 for my 4-year-old. I need 1 for my 6-year-old. But the reality is you can set up 1 and your 1-year-old can eat a banana for a breakfast invitation. That was always the running joke of what mine did. And the other 2 can work together. And some kids do work better than other kids together for sure. But like if I take my middle and my oldest, they came at 1 idea so differently. And it really worked well because 1 was more of a creative thinker, 1 was more of a literal thinker. And like their conversations about what they were working on were really interesting.
Cute.
The other thing in terms of if you're thinking more free play, and let's say you have, you know, your older child working with magnetic tiles and your, let's say something a little bit more that they can understand, maybe an almost 3-year-old wants to join in. One thing that we used a lot would be I would turn to my older child and I'd say, let's make a plan. How can he help? And that helped my older child still feel like they were in control of the play, but it helped the younger one want to feel included, which really is all they wanted to do. And when you think again about that, like age plus 1 or double the age, also kind of communicating with your oldest is it's not going to be for very long. Like if you just acknowledge that they want to be a part of your build and you quote unquote make
a
plan,
you know, like let him come in for a minute. He's going to be gone in 2 minutes.
Exactly. And that's kind of similar to a breakfast invitation, right? You're like just starting together, which fills your bucket. So same kind of concept. And when we would say, we would say like, let's make a plan. What are you, you know, what are you designing? Let's make a plan. Okay. How can they help? And that really, really helped in the early years. They played very well together. And it was a lot of that conversation about making a plan and how can they help? And now we still try to use it in the older ages where I'd say they get on each other's nerves more now that they're older than they did when they were younger. In the earlier years, they had a really good flow. But those are two things you have that set up, then. Both ages. Yeah. And then, you know, I created something called the Summertime Bundle, which it literally takes one activity a day and it lays it out so you don't have to think about what to do. But one thing I like to share with families is that if you have a 7-year-old or a 6-year-old, everything's laid out. So you could put that 7-year-old in charge. You know, on Sunday, they can look, the supplies are right there. They can look at, okay, what do I need? Collect them in a bucket. It gives that ownership for that older child. Yeah. And then, you know, and then it's just one activity a day. So it helps the older child feel in charge and start like project planning, right? Oh, okay. Monday, we're going to do yarn art, right? So set that up. Tuesday, you know. So a lot of times we think we need to like give an activity to an older child. And truly, a lot of times older children just need more problem solving and more critical thinking and feeling like they have some ownership, which helps build that independence.
Totally. And I mean, I love the way you described the making a plan and like including the younger person, because then it feels so much less than what you just described with the problem solving and planning ahead. Then for a 6 or 7-year-old, it's not my baby brother or sister is infringing on my fun. It's I'm the leader of this team. Like you're basically giving them roles. Like you're going to follow and learn from this person and this person is in charge. I think that would work very well with my kids. I love that a lot. And I want to hear more about the summer plan because I think this is going to be very popular with our listeners. Can you just walk us through a little bit about like what it looks like? I know I want it.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, I thought just like a parent, right? So for myself, I have a few things. I don't have time to put together elaborate crafts and activities, like you mentioned. So everything is under 5 minutes. I don't have time I don't have the money to spend on all the supplies, nor do I want to, right? So it's not even, like you said, it just takes space. So when I create activities, I think a lot about what do you already have in your home? You have muffin tins in your home. You have water in your home. You have a white paper roll, but that might be something that you have to go get. You have a pack of markers. So I really, you know, sometimes I used to just walk around the house with a muffin tin until an idea came to my mind of how to use it. And then it would like come to me and I'm like, yes, I'm going to make a blog post about this. So
it's a creative process, you know, it's getting your steps in. That's a part of your workout. It's great. Like,
I do get my best ideas when I'm working out. So I guess you're right. It does kind of, you know, but so when I created the Summertime Bundle, I was like, how can I simplify for parents who don't want to necessarily be a camp counselor, who don't necessarily want to juggle all the things, but want a routine that works for them, an easy idea to go to. So the first part of the Summertime Bundle is the Startup Guide. And in the Startup Guide, it's a startup guide for breakfast invitations. But inside, it talks about creating a predictable routine. And it talks about how to rethink your screen time to make it work for you. And it talks about a little bit about the development, like we talked about earlier, with what to expect from a toddler, what to expect from a preschooler. And then in the end, there are about 10 activities that you could try with your child. So that's the first part of the Summertime Bundle. The second part are these alphabet activity cards, and they're beautiful. They have a picture on the front, and then on the back has two different ideas. But I thought, you know what? Parents don't really need to they don't need to be flipping through the cards, wondering what to do. So the third thing that I did to simplify things is I just put it on a calendar and mapped it out for you. So if it's the third Wednesday of summer, let's say you did nothing, no activities, you couldn't really kind of find your way, and then finally it's the third Wednesday of summer, and you're like, wait, let's do something. I'm ready. I'm feeling good.
Now's the time.
Yeah. Now's the time. You're going to go to the calendar and just go to the third Wednesday. And maybe it's G for gather. You just read the back of the card and you know everything to do. So, you know, if you're someone who just wants, like for me, for meals, just please tell me what to cook every night. I find that super overwhelming.
It's exhausting. And my husband's always like, he's one of the guys, I don't know if your husband's like, he like wants an elaborate meal. I'm like, I could eat wheat thins for dinner. I don't care. And he like wants to know. And I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know. I'll know 5 minutes before, and please just don't have any opinions on it. I'm fortunate that my husband, I know. He'll eat anything, but at the same time, yeah, it's nice when they're out of town because you're like, chicken nuggets.
Man's out of town for 5 days right now, and I'm on a text chain with the other wives, and we're all like, should they do this once a month? This is great. I'm just going to run around naked with a bottle of wine. And I gave the kids a silly dinner for dinner last night, which is just like fruits and vegetables and crackers. And they were thrilled. Oh, they couldn't have been happier.
And you called it silly dinner?
Oh, and they know what it's called. They saw it coming and they were like, they know when it's on the divider plate, it's going to be silly dinner. And it's like healthy. It's the same level of health. It's just deconstructed. It's basically healthy snack foods, but they...
It's a charcuterie board.
Yeah. It's basically a child's charcuterie board and they absolutely love it.
But yeah. I love that you call it silly dinner. That's really clever and really fun. Like, I kind of want to come over for silly dinner.
Oh, come anytime. It's you'll be gone for the next 3 nights. So it'll probably make an appearance again. But... So that actually leads me to my next question. The other thing they ask for when they have silly dinner, which I usually say no to, but sometimes I say yes, is the screen time. Because I think that is a very, I did an episode on screen time a few months ago and it was very well received. I think people, they want to know from experts about screens and you're an expert.
Yeah. You always want to peek into someone's home and see how they do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what's your kind of philosophy there with all your play expertise?
So my philosophy is that if we spend, if they wake up at 7 and they are doing stuff, and you got to think about play, especially I have older kids now, I have 7, 9, and 10. So their play, I always say they're either reading or wrestling. Okay. They read a lot and they wrestle a lot. And so you have to think about those are both play, right? Yeah. One's more of like a risky hands-on play. The other one is more, you know, reading play. But if they're on from 7 to 3, then why would it be a problem for them to be able to watch a show or play Nintendo? And that has always been our thing because I also understand how to use TV as a tool. And again, at 3 o'clock, that's when I need it.
Yeah.
But one thing that I have learned over the years and really pushed myself for is to know it doesn't always have to be the default. So, for example, like right now you and I are on the podcast and I joked around talking to you, you know, screen time, they're used to screen times at 3. And I sent you an email. I was like, well, maybe I'll just put on a movie for them so the house is quiet. But the thing is that right before I went on, I thought, you know what? We are just starting our routine and I know they can do it. And so they're not watching TV. I have no idea what they're doing. They're probably eating the entire kitchen. But so I think it's like using TV as a tool, but also not becoming so codependent on it that every time you are in an uncomfortable situation that you are giving a child this screen to pacify the situation. So, you know, and I will be the first to admit in the early years, we would give my oldest the phone at a restaurant. And finally, I just got so tired of it. It just felt, I just didn't like the feeling anymore. And he was becoming so dependent on it. And we just stopped, like cold turkey just stopped. And it has been life changing. Now they can, you know, they bring their own things for a restaurant, you know, they can figure it out. And so that's my philosophy. My philosophy is use it as a tool, but don't become so codependent on it that you are using it to solve all of the problems. Like, again, it goes back to that kids know how to play or kids just know what to do. Somehow we lost the trust that they actually can do things and they can self-entertain. And the problem is that we're not giving them practice to do it. So the only reason why my kids are eating the entire kitchen right now or whatever they're doing is because it's already part of their routine.
Right.
But if I had always gave them a movie or screen time every time, then they would be in my office every 5 seconds right now when I'm trying to have a phone call with you. So,
Yeah, it's actually really impressive. I know your kids are a little bit older, but there's no way I'd be talking this long without somebody coming in if there wasn't a show on, which that kind of leads to my next question, which is when, maybe this is a bad example, but I think so many moms struggle with like overstimulation, especially if they have had a very stressful day or if they've been home with their kids all day. So do you have good and not super complicated ideas for parents where there's a lot of stimulation and they want the kids to like calm down, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they need to do something and it just needs to be quiet in the house that isn't like, I'm going to put on Paw Patrol for you.
Yeah. There's
something else they can do.
Well, just to note, like you said, so mine are 7, 9, and 10. And I'd say we're 3 weeks into summer. This summer feels a little bit different. And I'm going to knock on wood. It feels like I woke up this morning with a really bad headache, but I was able to like check myself out. And they still were able to do their own thing. And now it's like Legos really helped with that. They were working on a set. The Yodo is something that's great for all the ages because that's an audio. Do you have a Yodo?
Yeah, like the Tony Box. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Tony Box has the characters that you put on. The Yodo has the cards. But
one we have is the card. I don't know why I've been calling it a Tony Box, but it's the one, like my mom recorded herself doing some Dr. Seuss songs, books. I'm sorry. We put it in. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So they love that. And so just to kind of go back, I'm at a different stage that maybe a lot of your listeners are at. And it's really important to acknowledge that back to that, how much time a child can entertain themselves, not that they can't go more, but a year ago, it might've been different. And honestly, if we had this call tomorrow instead of today, they could be coming in every minute, right? I mean, like it all is just dependent on a million things, moods, weather, if they had the right foods, you know what I mean? Everything.
Totally.
Just like an adult, right? I mean, we have days that we're more on it and not. So I think that's the first thing to acknowledge is that different seasons call for different things. What had always saved me was moving my body. And so, you know, putting everyone in the stroller, I had this like giant quad stroller, putting everyone in the stroller and just getting out and moving, or like pressing play if I just needed to press play. Or quiet time is another solution. So you know, that's a whole nother conversation. But if you crash at 3 and you choose not to have screens, you know, you can set up quiet time where everyone knows that they have some time to kind of just the house shuts down and you have to do your thing. Now, when you talk about older kids, it's like Legos really work well for us. The Yodo really works well. Those maze books and puzzle books are really great.
Yeah.
And then again, like they're reading, and I really only have one solid reader. My middle is dyslexic and my youngest is still starting. So it's not that they're all ripping through like these giant chapter books, but they're all like have the habit of looking through the books, right? And they're reading in their own way. So, and with the younger ones, that's where sensory play was really a savior for me. So Play-Doh was something that I could just put a mat down and they really got into it. Or maybe it's something where it's kinetic sand that a family really likes, or water play is probably my most favorite. And it's just so accessible and you can add some funnels and pitchers and drops of food coloring and now you're color mixing. So I'd say sensory play is a good direction to go where you can watch from the sidelines and supervise, but not necessarily involved in the play.
Totally. And even what you just said about how like you've had these processes set up for so long that now your kids, it's like as they get older, they're just doing these things more and better than they did when they were younger. But like it's always been a thing, right? Like TV was never the default. They always like were given the opportunity to like play independently and do these different activities. So now they're just able to do it for longer, which is amazing.
They are. And again, just to keep it completely real, it's not that they are just these, you know, quiet little, they're all, you know,
of course.
There are different seasons and there are different days and different days call for different things. But yes, you're right. For the majority, just sticking with those habits that are in the startup guide that comes with the summertime bundle were really important to set the foundation up.
Yeah, totally. And I love that you said that because I think it's funny going back to the husbands. Like I feel like my husband, if our kids are like having a tantrum at the park or something, he's like, why are our kids so badly behaved? And I'm like, you're seeing a tiny sliver of what I see as a mom and as a professional, as like you in this space and like miserate. And like everyone's kids have days and it doesn't matter. Like I'll have clients be like, we're going on a plane. Is this a good age for air travel? And I'm like, I can give you the theoretical, this is a tough age. But I've seen screaming newborns on planes and I've seen 1.5-year-olds who sit quietly in color and the next day would have been the opposite. And it's like, they're just human beings.
That, we all have our good and bad days. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that big kids have tantrums too. I mean, there's adults that have tantrums. I mean, emotions are emotions, and really learning through them is probably one of the hardest parts of parenting. And you know, you're going to, even if you figure it out, you're still going to have big feelings. I mean, so that's another thing. And I think that social media has gotten much better about that, is like acknowledging, like you said, that it could, it's not just your child. You're not doing anything wrong. And I mean, it just happens to anybody. It should, like.
Yeah, as it should, right? I love it. Okay, so our homework for the summer, moms, is first we're going to get your bundle. And I want to call it the Summertime Bundle Summer Solutions Workshop, right? I have a code for you guys.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get that. We are going to have a good structure during the day and figure out the hard times for you, whether it's morning, lunch, nap time, dinner time, bedtime, whatever it is. Have a play solve. I think for me, it's going to be invitation to dinner. And we are going to not make screens our default, but it's okay to use them. Screens are fine. They're not the devil. It's like what you see on TikTok or whatever. And then we'll all be happier and healthier people. And we'll acknowledge that our kids can have bad days just like us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that recap. That was really great.
Love it. Love it. Well, Beth, thank you so much for joining me. And you guys, I'm going to include this code in the show notes so you can see it. And be sure to check out Days with Gray on Instagram. And you have a lovely website as well. We have all this stuff. So thank you so much, Beth.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun.
This is fun. And we managed to do it, and not a single child came in. Although I was kind of hoping one of them would pop in and say something crazy. just to like help, you know, sell some episodes, but it's okay. Next time.
Just to really make it seem like, you know, I actually am a real mom with the same things going on. Yeah, we all have very similar struggles.
We all get it. Well, thank you again for coming.
Thanks. Bye.
Loving the snooze button? Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And please leave a review. I will read it and internalize it, so make sure it's very glowing. If you're interested in working with me or learning more about my courses, head to brittanysheehan.com or follow me on Instagram @brittanysheehansleep.